hand off?
Oh, yeah.
All right, then. Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, I have great news for you. Good news for you. What is that? The good news tonight is we are alive. And that's the gift that we were given. The gift of life. And we must use that gift. Open that gift. And use that gift every day. And remember that you are alive. And it's a grand opportunity. It's a wonderful gift to know that you're alive. That you're living. That you can do things. And so many people go through life thinking they're alive. And they're not one bit alive. You know, to be alive means to know that, to know that this is an opportunity, that it's not a struggle, that it's not some punishment of some sort, that it's not something that you have to go through to get to the end. It's you're alive. Now, we're always going to be alive because there's no such thing as death. There are only transitions, and there's no beginning and there's no end. We were always divine ideas in the mind of God, but we chose to come to this plane of action and to be alive. And we did that for some particular reason. And that reason is to learn that love is the answer to everything, and to learn to love ourselves. And that is why we are here. And that's why we chose to come here. We were the ones who chose to incarnate on this planet. We made that choice while we were floating around in consciousness. And we said, well, let's take form. And let's take the form of humans and let's go to the earth plane and see what we can do there. But once we got here, we forgot all that. We forgot with Chad. Chose to do this, and we hear people say, well, you were nothing but an accident of birth, and you were this, and you were that. And this is not true. You actually chose to come here. And you chose the parents that you came through. We always choose the parents that we come through because we need to learn something, and they need to learn something. So it's always that law of attraction going on. So we were attracted to them to learn something. And they were attracted to us to learn something. But we come through our parents. And that's what we have to remember. So that you're not stuck on this plane of action by thinking that you were born by your parents having intercourse with each other. Yes, that has to take place. But you are much more than that. And what we're trying to do is lift our consciousness to realize that. So yes, we have earthly parents, and we always honor our earthly parents because they are of our flesh, and we honor them. But we have to remember that our Father is this thing that we call God, and that's who our true Father is. And when you remember that, and you're on this plane of action, you can raise your consciousness immediately by remembering that God is all there is also, and that you are part of that. So when you get up in the morning, be thankful that you're alive. Say to yourself, what an opportunity this is. I'm alive. I'm not floating around someplace in formless form. You see, we were formless, and then we decided to take form. We don't want to go back to that formlessness without learning something, since we took form to come here. And that's the power we have. So we can do that for our own selves. We can manifest other things, too. Because all things seen come from things that aren't seen. Or all form that you see comes from the formless part of it. So we were formless, and we decided to take form. And now we're here, and we should look at this as a wonderful opportunity. We should look at it as a vacation. We should look at it as going to Disneyland, instead of looking at it as hard work and what a ridiculous thing and how horrible life is and all that. Know every day that you were given a gift, the gift of life. And that's a wonderful gift to be given. So that's the good news. Now, how about a race mind alert? There's an advertisement on the radio for Liberty Mutual, I believe. And a woman says, they told me that they were just in love with that. And she says, and you know, love is a very strong word. Now, why is that a race mind alert? Because people hate to say to anybody, I love you. People don't use the word love. They think it is a strong word, a heavy word. Or if you say you love somebody, there's some kind of commitment there. Or if you say you love somebody, they think right away that you want to have sex with them. Don't do that to yourself. Learn to love yourself and learn to love everybody else and use that word. Don't make it a heavy word. Make it a wonderful word so that you can love yourself and love everybody else. So, that's the race mind. Race mind hates anyone to use the word. And how many people are in a relationship and they're always waiting for the other person to say, I love you first, before they commit themselves to say that. There's nothing wrong with immediately saying, I love you. If it frightens the other person, you don't want to be around them anyway. But don't hold back your love ever. And don't hold back that word, I love you. You know, it's not, doesn't make sense to do that, does it? But we do that constantly. We're afraid to commit. We're afraid to use that word. But we'll let the genie out of the box or something if we use the word love. And we have to use it. And we have to love people and love ourselves. So, just learn to love more. Learn to see everything through the eyes of love. Years ago, I went to a seminar called Loving Relationships Training. It was put out by Sonia Ray. Anyone knows who Sonia Ray is? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they had a statement there, and it was, I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant being you. So if you can remember that you're beholding people through the eyes of love, and try to remember to see through the eyes of love instead of through all the other filters that we put on in front of us. I often recommend to my clients that before they do anything, they get out their love glasses and they put their love glasses on. And then they look around and see. Instead of making decisions any other way, put your love glasses on. And look through that filter. Look through the filter and see things are much better when you look through the eyes of love. And love is always up one side, down the other, is always going to be the answer. Always going to be the answer. Remember Jesus said, how do you destroy your enemy?
Love them.
You love them. Mm-hmm. Once you love them, they're no longer your enemy. Of course, how do we think to destroy an enemy? We have to be mean to them, or we
blow
have to
them up.
Blow them up in some way. So we don't want to. We just don't want to do that. Also, I found a card, and I have it on my desk. And I wrote that card out, and where it came from is beyond me, because I have tons of little 3x5 cards around. And this one, and it had to be Ernest Holmes, the way it was phrased, because it says, there will come a day when we will. And that's, I know that has to be his phrasing. So it says, there will come a day when we will have our conversations in heaven. So think of that. What does that mean? Try to have your conversation in heaven. That means raising your consciousness up to where you don't repeat gossip, where you don't do negativity, where you see everything through the eyes of love, and you stay in that consciousness of heaven, and you have your conversation in heaven. Now, isn't that a wonderful idea, to have your conversation in heaven? Especially the internal conversation that's going on inside of us all the time, telling us how horrible things are, how horrible we are sometimes. If we can get our conversation to be in heaven, we can change all that mind talk. Is everyone in here working on their mind talk, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I love those eyes going up.
Constantly.
Yeah. Yeah. But you have it.
But my grateful, I realize that the grateful thing is, being grateful has popped in a lot more.
Yes.
Just being grateful for everything. And trying to remind myself to remember.
Yes. Being grateful is, and setting down in gratitude every day. Mm-hmm. And also using the word thank you. Yeah. And just be thankful for everything. Say, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you.
Yes.
And it's wonderful. And that stops that conversation that's going on in there. And then you can have your conversation in heaven. I think that's a wonderful thing to work on, to think of that, to keep your conversation in heaven. We all, excuse me, want to arrive at in heaven, do we not?
Yes.
Isn't that what we really want? You know, I mean, we've been taught about heaven and hell. Now, we know there's no such thing as hell, except the one we make in our own mind. And the heaven we talk about is the heaven that's within, and that's also done with our mind. So if we can keep our conversation in heaven, we'll be in heaven. When we go negativity and all, are we not taking ourselves right down to hell?
Yes.
And don't we feel bad afterwards about that? Regardless, we don't punish ourselves ever. We notice what we are doing. But the mere thing that when we're negative and when things aren't in heaven, we get to feeling poorly. And it just doesn't feel right, you know? It doesn't feel right. Our bodies and our minds were made to think positive thoughts, not to think negative thoughts. The world thinks negative thoughts. We are not made that way, remember? You can run a car on kerosene, but it jerks and carries on. If you put good gas in it, it runs smoothly. Your body and mind run smoothly when you have positive thoughts going on and when you stay positive about things. And we have to do that for ourselves because we're the ones that are creating our reality. And we are doing that with our thoughts. There's no other way that we're doing that. We always, and we do our feelings, we do everything by our thoughts. Feelings always follow thought. They don't randomly just fall into your mind. You are thinking something, and then you have the feeling. And you can learn to change that feeling by changing your thought. So you have to constantly tell yourself what a wonderful human being you are, how delighted you are to be here, and how grateful you are for everything that's in your life. And if you have nothing in your life, be grateful and things will come into your life. And the more grateful you are, the more you're going to have. And that's the whole idea of stewardship. If you take care of something, you will get more. If you don't take care of something, it doesn't come. You don't get it. So, we have to take good care of ourselves also, and good care of our thinking. We're responsible for our thinking. We are not our mind, we are not our thoughts, and we are not our feelings. We are much more than that. And we have to realize that and change those things. And don't punish yourself by having bad thoughts and so forth, which make you have bad feelings. You're doing that to yourself. No one on the outside of life is doing anything to you. Remember what Eleanor Roosevelt said? No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. You must consent to that. So don't do that to yourself, people. All right. With that said, let's do our little bit.
Forgot about this. I'm like, where are you guys going?
Are we ready?
Yes. Okay.
I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter.
Yay! Woo-hoo. I'm like, where are you going?
So, you forgot about it?
Well, I forgot that we didn't have to do that together, and I'm thinking, where's everyone going?
Have you been doing it at home?
Not so much the dance, but I sing it in my car on the way to work.
Good. Yes, please do it. You'll see all the difference in the world in yourself. I forget how many people so far have told me that they just love it, and it's just changed so many things about them.
I had an experience in my, I go to this group therapy, women's group, and the woman in my group was having some heart, we thought she was having a heart attack, basically. And so she started taking some nitroglycerin, and the therapist said, are you okay? And she's like, I'm not sure. So she asked her if she took some nitroglycerin, and for some reason, the room was really calm, and I got up because I've been with people that had a heart attack, and then I'm like trying to assess what's going on with her, and I go through all these steps, and I tell the therapist, let's call 911, and everyone kind of did their part. There's like six or seven of us in the room.
Better have that too.
And we went through this whole thing, and it was one of those experiences if you were going to have a heart attack, you were in the best place to have it because everybody sort of just worked together, got everybody, you know, got her situated, got the ambulance, blah, blah, blah. So it was sort of a very intimate experience because it was kind of, you know. But what I got out of that, my therapist sent me a letter and an email and said, Jules, you were an awesome woman today. You totally took charge. I followed you to lead. You were so calm and loving and blah. The thing I got mostly is that I mattered. And that was like the take-home message, is that, oh, my God, I mattered. I was there. And that experience, I have the email up on my desk, taped to the, because it reminds me that I do matter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's those, and it was a gift. And that, from you saying you matter, it's sort of like, since I'm thinking about it more, it's happening and I'm realizing it. So it's a really cool experience. And it was been scary in another situation, but it was very calm. So thank you, by the way, because that was a very... Remember that one thing when Diana was here and that whole I matter came up? And then it's sort of been the song and... Yes. And I think that if you're thinking about how much you matter, you will find times where it will appear.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the time we do matter.
Right.
She does. And that came up that night because I felt that from that woman.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh,
which I
yeah.
I came back.
Diana?
This one.
She was back the next night, next
yeah.
week. But now she works.
Now she works.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
But that was just a really, it's
huge.
Been a really cool experience.
Anybody else on the matter? No?
Well, when I coach people, I ask them, do you know you matter? And sometimes they say yes, and sometimes they look at me like they're confused.
Like you got a horn in your head.
But, yeah, I think that's, to have that question even enter into someone's consciousness.
It matters so much to know that about yourself. And to go through life without knowing that is not a nice way to go through life. You have to know that you matter. You have to know that. And that you're needed.
Well, what's interesting, I always go back to his analogy about the pixel.
wonderful.
I mean, that I told that's like a total easy thing to focus on.
Yep.
And thank you for that, because it's been really, you know, come up a lot in my mind.
Well, I've been saving myself for 3 years to come up with a good story and a good analogy, and that was
around
that
the pixels.
I'm spent. So.
Because we can all see something without a pixel in it. We've all seen, like when the TV fades down or something,
or
a
picture.
Because it loses. Yeah.
So that's how much we matter. And that's why we can say that God would be incomplete without you.
Mm.
You see, every little thing is put together. One string out of a tapestry. It's not the same. It's just not the same. And with the missing pixel, the picture is not the same.
Mm-hmm.
So you absolutely matter, and you must know that. And then you must know that you matter to yourself.
Can you matter more? I mean, do you just matter on just one level, or can you matter more if you start doing like what you want to do and feel like you can matter more?
Well, but of course. But you have to start with the idea that you know that you matter. And then things will come in to show you that you do matter.
Mm.
But that's one of the foundations, to know that you matter. You have to know that. And then you can't get thrown off course when somebody says something ugly to you or anything. Mm-hmm. I can't hurt me. I know I matter. It can't bother me. What's wrong with that person? You know? And we get hurt in life. And if you know that you matter, you won't get hurt. You just won't do it.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And you don't have all that running around, sniveling and crying and thinking, oh, that person said something mean and hateful to me. That was their idea. You know, as long as if you know inside that you matter, no one can upset you anymore. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. That helps give peace of mind. You don't have to worry anymore. Do I matter? Am I doing the right thing? Am I... You matter. You matter. You matter to this thing we call God. You matter to the universe itself. And yes, you may need to speak out one string, but that one string is needed. How many people know the whole idea about the idea of cable and so forth? You know, look at the Golden Gate Bridge. It's put together with cable. But cable is just little wires. One little wire can't do it. But when we put all the wires together, there you've got your string. And that's what this thing is all about. And put everything is together. We get the strength from it. So, the cable, all the little things connecting together, is God. And there's your strength. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. Those are the things that we need to know. Let's do a spiritual mind check. I absolutely know that I matter. I matter to this thing called God because I know that I am one with God. And I know that God is the source of my supply. And that source is prosperity, abundance, and money. And I constantly remind myself of that. I never allow myself to get upset because all I do is say God is the source of my supply. And that supply pours down upon me. Every channel in the universe is open for my supply. I know this. I can see this. I believe this. I accept this. And I let this be so. And so it is. Always remember that God, if you don't have the money or you're working on something and it falls through and you think, oh, there went that money, immediately change your thought to God is my supply. And the deal will either pick itself back up, or a new deal, even better, will come into place. Mm-hmm. But don't get upset and think, because you lost that, that it's gone. It's never gone, and it'll come back in a different way to you when you know that God is your source, not the job, not the contract, but God is the source of your supply. If you can't pay a bill, you think you don't have the money to pay a bill, you say, God is the source of my supply. This bill will be paid, and the bill will be paid. But people wait, oh, I have to work for that. I have to go out and get a job here. Yes, those things are necessary. But they're channeled. God is always the source. Then your job will come into you. Somebody will knock on your door and say, oh, can you do this for me? I'll pay you $100 to get this stuff. But it's always by remembering that God is the source. Don't let the rest of this stuff upset you. A deal falls through. Don't even think about it. Immediately say, God is the source of my supply. A new deal will come into play immediately, or the old deal will come back to life. But if you say, oh, it's done, it's, oh my, now what am I going to do? And we get so involved and upset because we think that money's lost. What do we know about the word loss? What do we know about the word lost? Nothing can be lost in the universe. God knows exactly where everything is.
Okay.
Nothing can be lost. Never use the word lost. Get it out of your vocabulary. Nothing can be lost. Oh, I lost that job. Oh, I lost that money. Oh, I lost that contract. Oh, I lost that deal. You see? What happens when you put that lost on there? Then it is lost.
Because you're telling yourself it is, right?
Absolutely. And as soon as you put that tag word on lost, it's gone. Remember? Nothing is lost in the universe. No. Nothing. God knows exactly where everything is. Everything is in divine right order. So just see those things. You have to witness that and say, oh, but God is the source of my supply. That deal went south. Now, it'll either come back up or something better will take its place. But you never can say the word lost. Nothing is lost. And that, you've proved that, or I've proved that many times, because if something is taken from me, I never say it's lost or gone. I say it will return to me by divine right, and it gets returned to me. The person who says it's lost never gets it because it's lost.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get it back because it's lost. You see? Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So just never lose it. Never use that word. Never use it. And you people in real estate, deals come and go, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So, know that.
We just say next.
Yes, next please.
Yes,
and more please, and bigger please. And, and immediately sit down and say, nothing is lost in the universe. God is the source of my supply, and a new channel is opening right now. Why I sit here. And ring, ring, the phone rings. Can you sell this $2 million property? Well, I'll be right over. No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This is the way it's done. This is the way you build faith in this whole thing. You see, this teaching absolutely works. It's a practical teaching. And it works across the board. But you have to work it.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn to work it by getting rid of some of your vocabulary and by using it each time. Because God can do it. And we think, oh, no, well, that's too big for God. Nothing is too big or too small for God. God does not know the difference. Remember that, from a dollar or $1 million. God doesn't know the difference between those. It's like an ant and an elephant. God does not know the difference. God only knows life. Use these things. Make your mind do this for you. We have to do it, you know. We have to make our mind do that for us. And we can do it because we're not our mind. Our mind is ours to use. And we have to learn to use that. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Every day. I'm seeing right now how vigilant I have to be.
Yeah. It's not being vigilant. Although that's a good word. It requires being awake. You have to be awake. You have to be awake. You have to notice what you're doing instead of just automatically doing the same thing. So you just notice what you're doing. And you sit down and you do this. And you make up your mind, I'm going to prove this. I'm going to make this. This makes sense to me. This is a much better way to go through life. So I'm going to make this work for me. And then it will start working for you. But you have to notice. You have to be awake.
I heard a guy say today on the talk radio, it's not hocus pocus, it's focus.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about the same very
that's
subject.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hocus pocus, mm-hmm. It's focus.
That's a great one. And it's not hocus pocus.
Right.
You can make this teaching hocus pocus, but it's not. And if you focus on it and really do it,
yeah,
it'll come to you. And you've used it. Mm-hmm. But you just have to remember that you can use it all the time. Mm-hmm. And we often we make one demonstration and then we relax. And we go right back to sleep again.
Yes.
And we can't go to sleep. We have to keep making it work. How's your situation? Everything coming along?
It's still going along. But, you know, before your teaching, it would have been enough stress to just make me implode. But, you know, you learn to look at things just from a slightly different angle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just look at it slightly differently. And it's not as bad as you would have once thought it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm still dealing with it.
And that's it. You have to look at things differently and from a different angle. And remember, it doesn't take a great big shift. It only takes a wee little thing, 1/2 degree, just one little turn, and everything turns. Everything changes. But we have to use it. If this teaching, if it can do nothing else for you, it can give you peace of mind where you don't implode anymore.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's the biggie.
That's huge, though.
That's huge.
Isn't that the big one?
Sure.
Totally.
Remember, that's... Oh. Everyone wants peace of mind. That's what we all are after.
Right.
All the rest of this stuff that I tell you are side effects. That's all the rest of it is. Money is a side effect. Once you get your consciousness working correctly, you don't worry about money because money is always there. Why? Because you know God's the source of your supply. So you don't worry about that. And it just keeps doing, just keeps coming in for you. And it gives you the peace of mind to do that. Then you're not a nervous wreck. You're not taking sleeping pills. You're not taking nerve pills. Do they still do nerve pills?
I'm sure there's Valium.
Oh. I haven't used that term for so many years.
Nerve pills. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Nerve
pills. Valium.
Oh.
Give me a nerve pill.
They used to call them nerve
pills.
Yeah,
they did.
They used to always say, oh, take a nerve pill.
I did.
You took a lot, though.
I took a lot.
What, a nerve pill?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You took nerve pills? Yeah. So many people, they have on nerve pills. Nothing else. When you went to the doctor and he couldn't find anything else wrong with you, he'd say, oh, here, take a nerve pill.
That's right.
It's your nerves doing that to
it's
you.
It's your nerves.
It's your nerve. Now, what was it doing it to you? Your mind was doing it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Your nerves had nothing to do with it whatsoever.
Well, people say, I'm having a nervous breakdown, and my therapist used to say, nerves don't break down.
No.
Like, oh, right.
And hearts don't break.
Yeah. It's like...
No. No.
And you know, the seek ye first the kingdom, to me, the kingdom of heaven is the serenity.
Yeah.
Yes. The kingdom of heaven is peace of mind.
Yeah.
It's peace.
Absolutely.
It's serenity. It's that.
Yeah.
And seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else will be added on to you, you see. And that's what we're doing here. We're seeking that. So that the rest will be added on to us. But what the world focuses on is the rest. The world focuses on side effects, you see, or byproducts. And money is a byproduct of this teaching. Because if you have a prosperity consciousness, money is the byproduct of building your consciousness. So you work on that level, where the world works on the byproduct level. Get the money, and then peace of mind will come. Peace of mind will not come. So many people were out there getting money because they want security for their old age. They need it for this. They need it for that. I turn on so many little programs or hear so many little things, which is very strange because I only ever listen to one radio station. So where this stuff comes from, I don't know. But the whole idea I hear, people are so worried of how to make ends meet when you get older.
Right.
Or and I keep thinking, I'm older, and I'm not worried yet. When's it going to happen?
Never.
And the other thing, you'll need all this money. And I keep thinking, what do I need all this money for?
That's true.
I keep going. They keep telling you, you'll need all this money. For what? But I keep thinking, when will I need all this money for?
Well, they're telling you you're going to get sick.
Yes.
See.
And then it's going to go, and I'll need the money for that. So, you see, I'm going to outsmart them. I'm not going to get sick.
Yeah.
I would rather invest all my money in staying healthy than saving all my money, getting ill, and let something else take it.
Yeah.
I watch, I mean, it doesn't make sense. And that's what all these people do.
Yeah.
They're making this stockpile of money. Because they say, I'm going to get sick and I'm going to need this money.
So they will.
Every time I talk to the parental units, it's one other this person has cancer, or this is one after the other, but they're very supportive of each other in their community. Yeah, you're supporting all of the fact that all of you are sick all the time.
Yes.
And this is how it's supposed to be.
And they're all waiting for it, and it's supposed to be.
Waiting.
And they don't get shocked. Well, at your age, you have to expect that. Well, I'm sure you've got cancer. Everyone gets cancer. Well, that's not true. That's not true. That cousin that died in 102 didn't die from cancer or anything else. She died from old age. She just said, I'm going to bed now. She went. That was the one who never took a prescription drug in her life. Aunt Catherine is going to turn 95 in August. And she doesn't have cancer. And she doesn't plan on having cancer. So, but people do plan on it. And I hear those ads on the radio just about make me nauseous, City of Hope, and this and that, and you're going to need this, and that, and that, and that. Here's something race-minded. Did this Monday night. I went to see this play. Wasn't any good. Alder Boys. Now, this is entertainment. We're sitting there in the audience. This is Playbill for entertainment. You open up the front page and it's for press store. Because is your cholesterol out of whack? Well, let me see. No, I don't think so.
Playbills
now. Now, here is press stores and here their disclaimers.
Jeez Louise.
You ain't seen
those are all the potential side effects,
yeah.
Right?
You ain't seen nothing.
Got the diarrhea.
Now,
your favorite things, too.
Now, you're going along here. And you come to...
Playbills. How do they get in playbills?
Yeah, you come to, can bone loss be reversed? Two pages. And this is for Fosamax Plus D.
What is that, like... Teeth?
Well, for Fosamax,
postmenopausal
osteoporosis.
Okay.
It actually helps reverse bone loss. Not just stop it or slow it, but stop it or reverse it. Now, there are their pages. You see, disclaimers. Now, you ain't seen nothing. Then we turn a page and we have Cedar Sinai Hospital on that page telling you you're going to get sick and you're going to need this because Cedar Sinai has always led the way in medical advances. Now you can help us. Okay. Check in.
So now you're seeing the demographic that they think they have for playbill and for theatergoers.
Yeah,
that's right.
Now,
a bunch of osteoporosis, high cholesterol, people that just get ready to drop.
And then
can't sleep.
Now, you didn't see this one. Watch this, Jules. You'll go crazy. Now watch. These are two these are two columns.
Uh-huh.
Watch this. Three column pages.
Oh my Lord.
Four and a half pages.
Let's take that.
That's amazing. In Playbill.
In Playbill.
Where's the thing about the play?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I kept looking for. Finally, there's something about a play in here. But now, isn't this is complete race mind. But you have, it's not only race mind, but you're inundated with this stuff regarding everywhere you go. They're asking you. Is your cholesterol right?
Right?
Someday they're going to find out that cholesterol doesn't do a damn thing. Which they, you know, they finally came up with good cholesterol, remember? Before there was not good cholesterol. Now there's good cholesterol.
Right.
But they'll just keep doing that. But the thing is, people see this constantly. So one little, somebody has a pain somewhere, they say, oh, I'll take that, take that pill. I'll take this pill. Now, there is no way that you could take something that's going to reverse bone loss without affecting every other part of your body. There's no way. You see, no pharmaceutical can target a particular part of your body. It cannot specifically go to that area. It has to go to all the areas throughout your body.
It's creating bone in your liver.
It's creating something else. It has to be doing something. And then, of course, bringing up the liver, everything that we take is filtered through the liver.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why most people die of some liver thing, because of taking so many pills.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And I bet you every one of those disclaimers talks about liver.
Oh, yes, they have.
Or kidneys.
Yeah, right.
I have to say, I've been to quite a few plays in my life and have never...
I was dumbfounded with this one. Can you imagine?
That's pretty amazing.
All that money, but here are the people, and I guess the demographics, older people are in the audience, and they read, I better call my doctor and get that one. Oh, yes, better have that too.
Wow.
I mean, it's insidious, isn't it? And it's all day long on the radio and the television.
And the internet. It's
everywhere. It's amazing.
So, just use your own mind about these things and think about these things, because the world wants you to take something. Why does the pharmaceutical companies want you to take something? Because they make a great deal of money. And it's my understanding that the pharmaceutical company is the largest lobbying in Washington. The largest. They have more lobbyists there than any other organization. And they make tons and tons of money.
And I'm not... Doctors make a lot of money.
The doctors probably not.
No, they're not anymore.
I think the doctors probably hate this, where all this stuff is going on. Was to ask your doctor about Ambien, ask your doctor about. It's like, oh my God, you know, I mean, how can they keep track of all the crap that's out there?
Well, yes, because they have drug salesman comes around and says, here, this is the latest thing. Give this to your patient. Give that to your patient. Because doctors can't keep up with all this. But they must be awful to be a doctor this day and age when your patient comes in and says, I want this,
I want that.
Write me out a prescription.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah,
they just
right.
sit there writing out
right.
prescriptions.
Right.
They don't even look at you. Here, take it. Yeah. Take it.
And then you have the other end of the people that are elderly, they can't afford to take anything. I mean, they want to take some of that stuff, but they don't have the money to take it. So it's this weird psychology about why they can't. It's like...
So the best thing is to stay healthy.
Right.
Take care of yourself.
Well, you realize you don't have to get sick.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
There's no rhyme or reason for illness. It's a made-up thing. We just, because we have doctors, because we have this, because we have that. And we keep thinking, oh, it's part of life. And it doesn't have to be part of life.
Right.
But they're convincing you all the time that this is your life. You better take something for it.
Mm-hmm.
You better take it. Yeah. Go do it.
Remember that affirmation when we went to see Mary Mann and Morrissey in San Juan? That I created, we did the thing. I'm pain-free, strong, flexible, lean, firm, fit,
yes.
Muscular. I've been doing that ever since then, several times a day. And any time I feel anything, a pain, or I say, I know God is right here. I talk to my body. I kiss it if I can. And I repeat that. And, you know, all the stuff that was going on that you've helped me work on is, for the most part,
yes.
Healed.
And that's how Myrtle Fillmore healed herself,
yep.
By talking to her body,
yep.
And by loving every part of her body. Mm-hmm. How many people do you hear say, oh, my damn liver, oh, my stupid gallbladder, all this thing is going on there, instead of saying, oh, thank you so much for doing your job. Thank you. I just love you for doing this for me. And you have to do that and put love and stuff into it and talk to these, to your organs. They respond. They know now that every organ and every cell in our body thinks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has a mind, and you can talk to it and say, let's get together here and work this whole thing out instead of taking all this stuff. But we have to advance. We have to, through evolution and so forth, and mental evolution, we have to advance past all these things, but we don't, because we think that we need the candle maker and the whatever. What was that old thing we learned? The candlestick maker and the bread maker.
The butcher, the baker, the
candlestick maker. We think we need the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. We think we need firemen, policemen, all that. Why? Because we believe in houses burning down. And why do we need policemen? Because we don't think that people are honest. If people were honest, we wouldn't need that.
Military.
Military, if we didn't believe in war, we wouldn't have the military. But we're always going to have the military. Why are we always going to have the military?
Because we believe in war.
Because not only do we believe in war, we're always making new weapons. And if we make a new weapon, we have to use it. You're not going to make any weapon and not use it.
And we're always making enemies.
We're always making enemies. And but we can change all that by keeping our conversation to heaven.
Yeah.
And by knowing that it doesn't. But we have Grace Mind out there who says, oh, there's always been war. There'll always be war. You hear people say that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you'll never solve the Middle East. They've been fighting for 2,000 years. They hate each other, the Sunnis and the Sinis and whatever else is over there. They all hate each other.
Well, I say that's fine. Let them hate each other, but what does that have to do with here?
Yes, well, I think. Yes. But we have to do it here. See, as long as there's domestic violence, there'll be war. As long as there's domestic violence, there'll be war. It's just a global thing. All right, let's lift this group up. Not the way we want it. Tonight's topic is joy.
Yay!
Give me joy, joy,
joy, joy. Down in my heart. Down in my heart.
Down in my heart.
And that's what you have to know where joy is. Joy is in your heart. Joy is on the inside of you. Joy is not to be found on the outside. And people are looking for joy on the outside of life. That's why we go for all the trappings and so forth, thinking that they're going to give us joy. But we have to know that joy is inside, and we can always feel that joy and have that joy instead of looking for it outside of ourselves. You know, the sky is always blue, and joy is always inside. It doesn't matter how many clouds are in the sky is always blue. So get rid of all the clouds and all the stuff that's inside of you and find that joy. You came here with that joy. It's an intrinsic thing. All the qualities that we're ever looking for are inside of us. And we're always looking outside of ourselves for everything. We can't do that. Remember that, people. Look for God on the outside. Look for God on the inside. God is everywhere. But look for God on the inside. Inside of you. And find that. But find the joy in your life. You are not here not to experience joy. Bliss. All those things that you're looking for, you can have. And joy, you can have all the time, regardless of what's going on around you. Stop looking at everything around you and buying into it. You know, life, our life, out here is just a movie. It's just a movie. And we're the ones that are making it. So when you see that, when you know that, that screen of life is pure white. There's nothing on the screen of life. We project things on the screen of life. And then we say those things that we're projecting are absolutely real. Now I feel sad because that's going in that direction. And that I thought, yeah, bleh. Now I've lost all my joy. You can have joy inside of you and watch what's going on without getting attached to it. And when you see your movie going on, you have to realize, I don't like the ending. I can change the ending. You know Hollywood, don't they make movies with two and three different endings and then they decide which one they're going to use?
Yeah.
Well, can't you do the same thing with yours? Which one do you want? Do you want it to end in tragedy, or do you want it to end in happiness and in joy and so forth? You have to do that. You have to see how your life is unfolding. And if it's unfolding the way you don't want it to, you have to realize you're the one that's doing it. You are the producer of your own life, the producer of your own movie. You're the star of your own movie. You know, and you're the director. You're everything. And also the screen, by the way.
You're the writer.
And the writer. And the whole thing. And that's what you have to know instead of buying into it and saying, oh, this is blah, 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 blah. You're writing that.
Yes.
So you change that. You change what you're writing. And then you see that on your screen. Instead of believing that the movie you're watching is real. The movie you're watching is not real. But the joy inside of you is always real. And it's always there for you to tap into. But you have to look in inwardly. But we look outwardly. And we see, oh, look what all's going on in front of me there. It must all be real. Everything on the outside of life is an illusion. It's just an illusion that your mind is making for you. And you can change that illusion by knowing first, just know, oh, this is an illusion. I don't care how real it is, how solid it feels. It is an illusion. It is an event that is going on right now. And I can change that event anytime I decide by doing what Tom did. Just looking at it in a different angle, in a different way. And the whole movie changes. Your whole life changes. But you're projecting that. You're making that. And it is an illusion. Don't do that. It makes life easier when you realize that you're causing it. When you realize that you can change the movie. Instead of thinking, oh, that's absolutely real. That's absolutely solid. And it's not. It's an illusion. It's an illusion. If you lose the deal in the real estate business, that's merely an illusion. It's just an illusion. Now you can go with that scenario, with that script, or you can change it.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, oh, I don't like that scene. I'm going to edit that right out. And then you just edit it out of your life. And you come back to joy. We can all feel joy. All the time. We can be joyful. Sing your little song, too. Deep in your heart. And we had that as a child. I think they used to sing that in church or something.
Yeah,
Sunday
school.
Yeah. And then we forget. Down in my heart. They told you that a way back when. Deep down in my heart, something like that. I remember that as a child.
Yeah.
And then we get out in the world and we start to buy into all the illusions and we say, oh, well, that's not it. So I have to do this, this, and this to find joy. And you don't. You just have to sit and find it inside of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And say, regardless of what's going on the outside of life, I'm always going to be joyful on the inside of life. I'm not going to get all upset over what's going on. It's a movie. Just passing by. You're just watching a movie. So change the movie if you don't. You watch television, you don't like what you see, you change the, you change it. But we get a movie going on in our head and we just keep playing it thinking, oh, that's real, we have to do that. Instead of saying, oh, wrong channel.
The problem is we play it over and over and over and over again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't do it. Don't play it over.
Well, my therapist once said to me years ago, she said, you need to go now because I've seen this movie and I'm tired of watching it. So when you decide you want to change the channel, come back and see me.
Yes.
Ooh.
Now that was a good therapist.
That's what she is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good therapist.
And I was like, mortified at the time, but I understood. It was a take-home message that I got.
Yes. Well, that was terrific. I'm delighted when I hear another therapist will do that, because usually they want to keep you.
For nice.
Yes.
And it's not, nothing
is for
life. And you have to learn. If you're not learning, change therapists, get something else going. But we have to be able to learn this. And we have to know that we can have joy all the time. That it has nothing to do with what's going on in the outside of life. It has nothing to do with how much money you have. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with knowing that joy is inside of you, looking in there, finding that joy, and staying in that joy. And saying, regardless of what's going on in the outside of life, I am going to be joyful. And you will be joyful. It's just like an affirmation. But you have to keep looking for it inside. Instead of thinking that you're going to find it around the next corner, or with the next person, or the next house, or the next car, or the next $1 million, or whatever. You have to find it inside of your own self. And then life opens up once more for you. And you say, geez, this is a wonderful experience that I'm going through. I'm loving my life. I'm delighted to be alive. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Always. Everything that you're looking for is in the inside of you. And you have everything that you're looking for. What you are looking for, you are looking with. And it's wonderful. So are you. So am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Yay. So I think we should all sing happy birthday to Dallas, because it's his birthday on Saturday.
Oh, is it?
It is. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dallas. Happy birthday to you. You're wonderful.
And you matter.